On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
So you get excited because they're excited, gets me excited, gets all of our fans excited, and our sponsors. So it's going to work out.
Bless you, boys! Unbelievable! I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
Step into the well-informed, ill-advised, and oddly entertaining world of Tall Can Sports.
Here we go!
Light the candle!
Made me look stupid, and I can handle that on my own.
You smug fuck.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome to Tall Can Sports, right here on the Tall Can Audio Podcast Network. Getting ready to kickstart your Monday. Yeah, nothing like that first beer on a Monday morning really gets shit going. What's happening, man? Yeah, sorry, I timed that wrong.
Yeah, that's what a rookie.
Swig a beer for the working man.
It's good, man. It's good. Yeah. I love a Monday.
Yeah?
I love the nightlife. I love to boogie.
He does not love to. He kind of does love to boogie.
On the disco ground. Oh, yeah.
Oof, sorry about that, everybody.
Yeah, that's what I got going on. What about you?
You know what? It's been a long fucking weekend, but it's good. And
that makes for a great show, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
When two guys are running on fumes.
It's true. Running on beers.
Throw a couple of pints on top of that. Good to go.
That's how it ought to go, man. How it ought to go.
Yes, it's true. I agree with you 100%. What's going on with you?
You know what? I don't have a lot
I rarely
to
ask because I rarely care.
And that's no different right now. You're kind of a shithead. I had something that I was going to ask you, but I forgot to cue it up here before we started. So now I'm kind of hoping you were going to buy time instead of continuously putting it back on me.
Yeah. Well, I would just continue to drink beer. That's what's happening over here. I was doing a little kicking around, and late last week, Florida rolled through Ottawa, and they had...
As you want to do.
Yeah. It's kind of like a toilet bowl flush. Wipes all the skid marks clean.
Beautiful in the spring, though. Yes, come back in May for Tulip Festival.
Yeah, well, and honestly, as I said to you, again, coming over here on the bus, right? Usually in spring, it smells like shit outside.
Yes.
Not inside. I'm unhappy with what just happened back there. But yeah, looking through Hoffman now, pressing in on 40 goals.
Mm-hmm.
A big fat dash 35 to go with that.
Yeah. Yikes.
Well, and looking through the sort of the history of guys who've scored 30 plus goals but have been minus 20 or less, there's some real
winners.
Some beauts. Ovi was with a 50 goal season.
I remember that. That was a big deal.
Honestly, and he was like a minus 40 or whatever
it
was.
He's washed up. And then a season later, they win the fucking cup.
Yeah. Well, and then there's some other guys on there like Michael Ryder.
Ooh, yeah.
35 goals, minus 30.
How about Mike Ribeiro? He's got to be up there somewhere.
No, he wasn't. But you know who? There was a name on there I went, what? What are you doing here, Brad Boys?
As a Blue?
Like 30 goals?
Yeah.
I understand the minus 20, but where's the 30 goals?
Well, it was funny that you say that, right? As a guy who put up a pile of That's a Leafs first rounder that was traded to San Jose.
What was he saying? Scores 30 goals
for
elsewhere.
Owen Nolan, who scores 50 elsewhere, not 30 elsewhere. While we massage Owen Nolan's crippled back into fucking form. But yeah, he put up a pile of, to see that he was on that list when he put up all his goals in St. Louis, who are typically quite stingy. Yeah. And that's fucking bad, man.
You've sucked again. That's what's happened there, Leaf draft pick.
I feel like it's been a while since we shit on the Oilers, and I would like to do that right now. I would like to hit you with a couple of numbers here and see, because this is going to date back to your vintage a little bit. The Edmonton Oilers sure look like they're going to miss the playoffs with two 100-point scorers. They would be only the third team ever to have that happen to them. Would you like to try to guess the two previous teams that that's happened to? Two 100-point scorers and don't make the playoffs.
Los Angeles Kings?
No.
Detroit Red Wings?
No.
Can I get years? Do you have
you
years?
Can get 1988 and 1990.
Could that be Edmonton Oilers?
No.
Those are cup winning years.
Yeah.
That's 88. That's why, honestly, I thought Detroit with Yzerman.
Yeah, that would make sense. Cicerelli or.
How about Minnesota North Stars?
Nope.
How about Chicago Blackhawks?
No.
How about Toronto Maple Leafs?
No. Why don't I just hit you with them? Jesus Christ. Because you're waving at it.
I certainly am waving at it.
What if I give you the teams, you can try and give me the guys?
Yes.
In 1988.
Hartford Whalers.
The Quebec Nordiques.
Okay. With 88?
Yeah.
Not Joe Sakic.
No.
Yeah, Michel Goulet.
Yep.
And
that was the one I thought you'd struggle with, so the other one's okay, more obvious.
The other one is Stastny?
That's correct.
Woo!
Peter Stastny and Michel Goulet.
I would struggle with Michel Goulet? Come on, man.
Wow. To me, he seems more obscure than Stastny.
He was on that Rendezvous Cup team.
That's a shame. 1990, Pittsburgh Penguins.
Rob Brown.
Not Rob Brown.
Ricci.
No. I mean, come on.
So Lemieux.
Yes.
Okay, but I'm trying to, I'm just, this is not Ron Francis. You're talking, so it's not Rob Brown.
No.
It's not Mark Recchi. A defenseman?
Yeah.
Paul Coffey.
Paul Coffey is correct. Yeah.
100 points in 1998.
Yeah.
Still doing it.
Unbelievable. And, well, but, honestly, but can you believe, like, missing the playoffs a year later, winning it all.
Yeah, well, they made some really crafty, under-the-radar trades, right?
I mean, like, just fucking raping the Hartford Whaler organization.
For sure, right? We're going to trade out Czarly, Zalapski, and who knows who else.
It was a very, like, EA Sports, NHL 96 kind of trade before they had figured out the computer technology that would tell you no to a stupid trade where you would trade your two worst players for their two best players.
Yeah.
Love it, man. So that's a rare company that the Edmonton Oilers may find themselves in here. Two 100-point scorers and no playoffs. That's tough to do, man.
Well, and as you look at it, do you think they will just spend the rest of the season trying to get Draisaitl his 50 goals? Like the last couple of games of the season, just feeding him? Because the games mean nothing.
Why not, really? Yeah, I guess, right? Like, what else is there to play for?
Well, and I wager RNH, if he doesn't already, will have 30 goals.
Yeah.
Not 100 points, but.
No. But I mean.
But who else is getting anything done?
There's been lots of talk that, you know, McDavid's going to give them one more year to say, get your shit together or I'm out of here. You buy into that at all?
I don't.
No. And I've heard it in a few different places. I've heard it refuted in a few different places, but. You're wasting my prime. Took a discount to stay here. Still made me the highest paid player in the league. But he did take a discount. I do believe that.
Well, not at the time he didn't.
I still believe that he did. That there was talk that it was supposed to be like 13.25 or whatever. And he gave back $750,000 to.
I think what it came down to, yeah, you know what? Give me $100 million, which is
$100 million, unthinkable,
yeah. Right? And I think everything was hunky dory there at that point, right? I think now, does he not have the same representation as Austin Matthews?
Yeah. Yeah, he didn't at the time, but now they do. Okay. They've moved under the same umbrella.
See, because to me, that is what Matthews has done is shrewd, because it not only allows Matthews to get more money in five,
yeah,
it also allows him the freedom to move wherever he wants in those 5 years.
I think you're right, but I think that was foisted upon Matthews a little bit in that the Leafs couldn't do what Edmonton did, even if they had wanted to.
Right.
I think Matthews probably would have taken... Maybe I'm wrong.
Okay.
But the extra 3 years locked in.
Everybody
guaranteed.
Looks, if you look at Carlson not taking the eight times 11 here, and he hasn't played a game in five weeks.
And on Thursday afternoon, I watched a video of him stepping out on the ice for like one of his first practices back and literally falling on his face, straight to face.
Yeah.
And
8 times 11 guaranteed.
Apparently not. Right, and I'm not giving that guy 8 at any number at this point, right?
Well, no, what I'm saying is that's what he had.
Yes, yes. I think Matthews is kind of being viewed as this is the new way to do it, but I also think there's a chance he wouldn't have done it if he could have got the number he wanted for longer.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Carlson is that guy who says, I don't like this here. I want to set my own way.
Yeah.
And the flip side of that is, he's not getting $90 million anywhere else.
No.
So that's one of those things where you go, oof, you should have taken the 8.
Sure looks that way, eh?
Right. But Matthews, to me, whether you look at it and go, it's a paltry 11.34, right? But
just barely scraping by.
Right. And in five, you assume the cap will,
that's
inflation,
14, 15, 16 mil or whatever.
Or heaven forbid, in 5 years, things have not
gone.
His
shoulder's fallen off.
Well, this is it, right? Or things haven't gone the way you'd hope in Toronto.
Yep.
He can then go,
to Arizona.
I'm looking at the Coyotes. Look at those guys.
Sure.
Or whoever, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to set a course somewhere else. So
far more likely to be a Rangers having completed their rebuild or whatever. I don't buy anything into the Arizona Coyotes who've never made a dime.
No. Although, if you were in 5 years going to make a big splash, it's like the Capitals signing Yager or trading for Yager.
Chris Beach. How'd that piece go in the other way?
How'd that work out for you?
Oof.
Yeah, not so good.
I know you had a chance to take a look at a piece that Elliot Friedman brought up last week in 31 Thoughts. And this has been kicking around for a while. But with how Roberto Luongo's season has gone, it seems to be picking up a little bit of steam. And that is this cap recapture, they call it. And for those who are not familiar, it was only in the last lockout, and it still annoys the piss out of me, that we can delegate eras in the NHL by
lockouts.
In between the 2004-05 lockout and the 12-13 lockout, you could sign contracts for as long as you want. And so what a lot of teams started to do was to try and the cap number was the average of what you
of
would
your
be paid.
13-year contract.
So let's say Rob has a 10-year deal, and I know in 7 or 8 years, Rob's going to suck.
True story.
Yeah. 10 mil for those first 7 years, 1 mil for those last 3 years, and now my cap hit is down around 5 or 6 million, right? They take the average of those numbers.
Brings that average down nicely.
Right. And so that's what the cap hit always was. And so for the rich teams or any teams, really, the player made sure he got all his money up front, and after 7 years, when he knew he was likely to want to retire or whatever was happening there, he'd take $1 million for those last 3 years, just retire knowing he didn't need it, and it helped the team pull the cap hit number down as opposed to the cash number down.
See Marian Hossa, see Henrik Zetterberg.
Zach Parise, Ryan Suter, Roberto Luongo, Shea Weber.
I'm looking at Hossa, who's
already retired.
Yeah, with Arizona, and Zetterberg, who's
and
also...
And Datsyuk, yeah.
Yep.
So that's sort of how the math works. It's the average of the contract, and so they would always tack three extra years onto the end of a 15-year deal or a 12-year deal that everyone knew the guy wasn't going to play, and it would pull the average down. So they go into the 2012-2013 lockout, and they set up two different rules. One is you can sign with your own team for only 8 years. If you're leaving as a free agent, a la John Tavares to the Leafs, you can only sign for 7 years. So that's supposed to be an enticement to be able to keep your own guys. You can give them that extra year on their contract. The other one was, at no point can the cap, the cash value be less than half of the top value. So if Rob's making 10 million, I can't ever in any year pay him less than five.
Right. So to stop these back diving contracts.
Right. So one of the other things that they did at the end of that lockout to fuck with people who had done this, which pissed Gary off to no end, was say, and by the way, those of you who signed all those long-term deals that I told you not to sign, I'm fucking you hard. And
with a pineapple.
So let's use Luongo, who has been traded from Vancouver. He signed one of these deals. He's long since left Vancouver and has played the last several years in Florida.
When they gave him the C, if you recall.
Yes,
ladies
a
and
captain.
Gentlemen.
The captain goalie had the C on his stick, I think.
Lame.
Yeah, Canucks. For sure. What they said was, we know that you signed these hoping that that guy would retire with 3 years left. Or whatever the number was where he's making that, you know, nothing amount of money. For every year ahead of hit the end of the contract where he's just making that money, you're going to pay a penalty. So in this case, and you probably have the numbers on your mind closer than I do, but with Luongo, now playing for Florida, even though the deal was signed with Vancouver before he was traded, he right now, at 40 years old, has 3 years left. And if he retires this year, Vancouver will be hit for the last 3 years of the contract with something like 3.2?
Yeah, 2.9.
$2.9 million on their cap. You still have to pay this guy for signing that deal. Now, Florida, as a team who picked him up, is also on the hook, but I think it's
1.7.
So they've got a little bit... And that happens if he retires this summer.
With 3 years, ladies and gentlemen. Still 3 years. I just want to reiterate.
If he were to play next year, the cap penalty to Vancouver, who Luongo, again, does not play for, goes up higher. And if he were to retire in 2 years with only 1 year left on that deal, the NHL determined that it would be so transparent that this is why he was doing it, Vancouver would have an $8 million cap penalty for a guy they signed in like 2010 or something.
Yeah,
like
just prior to the lockout.
Yeah. And at the time, this was a fuck you for ignoring the league's, you know, advice not to do it, even though you were operating within their rules. And this is always what happens when a new CBA gets put out in almost any working area, the first thing that starts to happen is the PA starts to look for loopholes, right? Starts to figure out how to work around it.
Well, certain teams go and hire guys who worked for the NHL.
Yep.
And
some of those teams are brilliant.
Yeah. And sort of guys who constructed the league side of the CBA, and then now they're working on the private side.
Yeah.
And they're
worked for the team.
Exploiting loopholes that they may or may not, like gamers.
Well, and I want to get to that, right? Because the Leafs have done that in terms of signing Brandon Prinham, who helped the league design the last CBA.
Well, and the guy that used to work for Lou Lamoriello in New Jersey, same thing, right?
Yeah.
Lou brought on, and it's probably, honestly, goddamn Lou. Probably.
Fuck, he knows what's up.
Probably. I think he runs the league, actually.
A little bit, yeah. So there's a certain part of this that Luongo has not been healthy this year. He's not been good this year, and he's 40 years old. There's a part of you that goes, it would be totally legit. And he has also said in an interview this week, I know Florida's looking to do something else in goal. They're ready to try and be better, which is fair.
They have, I pose this to you off air. They may have the worst goaltending in the league.
Oh, James Reimer is not part of any worst goaltending tandem in any league. James Reimer is a beaut. We all love him.
Okay.
I don't know where James Reimer was this week when...
Well, late last week he was getting pulled. He had the big, you know...
Well,
the big hook comes out.
Okay.
Bring that cripple, that 40-year-old cripple, bring him out.
Which game was that? Against you guys?
The Montreal game.
Okay.
For sure. And then did he not get pulled in the Toronto game?
Okay. This is what I'm talking about. I don't know if he's hurt or what. The guy who started in Toronto was Sam Maltambeau, something like that. They put him in. He had an 8.68 save percentage going in. He gave up two goals in the first 4 minutes, and they pulled him for Luongo go in.
Who knew that was going to happen?
Right. Now, we've also been
nine goals against.
We've been ruined by Alexander Georgiev twice in the last month, so we were expecting that guy to shut us out, I'm sure. But I don't know if Reimer's hurt or what's up, but they've been going with this other guy. And the plan was, yeah, Sam Maltambeau would play in Toronto to allow Luongo to play in Montreal, which in theory could be his last game in his hometown, right?
But no.
He has to come in with 54 minutes left in the game in Toronto and get lit the fuck up.
And shit was just raining down on him.
For sure. So this looks like a guy who could be ready to retire. It punishes Florida. It punishes Vancouver. Should it?
And if you're Florida, do you give it?
I don't care about what happens to Vancouver.
A coon shit about Vancouver.
No, no, and they don't have to worry about like the $1 million that they're going to have to carry on this.
No, this is it. You go, okay, sorry about that. I'll take that.
Yeah,
bah.
We weren't going to spend that anyway.
Should they have to? Yeah, of course they should have to.
I'm surprised to hear you say that. A little bit. Only because at the time it was within the rules, and this was laid down by other GMs who didn't do it, mostly ones who couldn't afford to have.
And I'm really just kidding because I want to stick it to Vancouver.
Yeah, no, I would love to see Vancouver get fucked by this.
Yeah, because the reality is, if you've changed your mind, anything that was legally negotiated under a previous CBA should be grandfathered in.
Yeah.
That to me makes common sense and makes good sense to anybody with half a brain moving forward.
Right.
Right. But clearly if you go, I want to close that and we want to have some equity, right? You know,
Do you think in the next lockout, only a year or so away, and it's coming, folks.
2022, not 2020.
That this is going to quietly go away.
I don't know if this is going to quietly go away, but all those Leaf luxuries, those are going to go away.
Okay, and I want to ask you about that because I think this is that version, right? I think this is the new backdiving contract, so we will get to that.
Okay.
But this...
Front diving.
Sure. I love doing a little front diving, to be honest with you. Sir. You can do with what you want, folks.
Exactly. Theater of the mind, ladies and gentlemen.
Sure.
Theater of the mind.
Do you think that, like, I think they don't want to fuck Chicago. They love when Chicago's good, and they have still Seabrook and Keith on these deals, right? I think this looks like they already let New Jersey out of this because Lou was their guy. They signed the big Kovalchuk deal. He decides I'm fucking off to New Jersey. That deal should have still sunk them. But Gary goes, it's all right. And he gave them their fucking first round pick back for the other cap circumvention that they did with that deal the first time.
Well, so, they were crazy out in front of all the cap circumvention.
For sure
stuff.
They were. So to me, this looks like one of those things that quietly gets waved away. We made our point. No one actually had to be penalized. Because Montreal should worry about, and mainly Nashville should worry about, Shea Weber also has one of these deals that goes on forever, late into the, well, at least into the 20s here, right? Like 2022.
Into the autumn of his career.
Yeah. And Montreal can, again, just let him retire. And that all that cap hell gets rained down on Nashville, who's going to have their own fucking.
But see, as I've said, and your Weber point is valid, it doesn't help because I firmly believe with that 2-year opt-out, right? 2020 or 2022.
Yeah.
That the lockout will come, will be pushed, will be kicked down the road to 2022. Vancouver's still getting hosed.
Vancouver will still get hosed, but I think Nashville could get off the hook.
Well, this is what I'm saying.
Seabrook could get off the hook, right?
Well, everybody loves David Poile.
Right. And so that's what I think this quietly gets wiped away. We just don't talk about.
But how do you feel about that?
Well, I think that this was Gary making his point. You should do what I tell you to do.
Okay, but then, yeah, the ones who have had to suffer under it, which, well, for instance, this is...
You just trade it to fucking Arizona is what happens.
Well, because late last week, you started to hear a lot about this. And obviously, it came out with Friedman's 31 Thoughts.
Yeah.
Right? I was listening to Pierre Maguire on the radio. You listen to talk radio, and people are openly talking about Luongo with 3 years left going on long-term injured reserve.
Yeah.
Like, just openly talking about it. Like,
you know what's even crazier?
This is a guy who's still playing and dressing on a nightly basis right now.
And there's people...
To me, it seems like...
Well, let me tell you about the other one is the fucking wet dream of the Leaf fan is that Patrick Marleau next year should go on LTIR and just retire. First...
Right from the Iron Man.
That's what I'm saying. That's a fucking guy that, A... uprooted his legacy and his family to come to Toronto and win a cup. Unless they win this one this year, he ain't retiring. And second, he's played for a decade without missing a game. You think you can then put that guy, he's hurt, can't possibly continue his career. Well,
and the Leafs already have the jaundiced spotlight of the league
for
on them,
sure.
Right? You're like,
we got the Nathan Horton and the Loophole and Robidaw Island and all of a sudden, Iron Man Patrick Marleau, I couldn't possibly play another game.
I couldn't even pick my stick. I couldn't play with my kids in the offseason. It's horrible.
A break, man.
So
he sucks enough at this point that he shouldn't be playing anymore, but he's not so hurt that he can't play anymore.
Well, it comes down to healthy scratch to rest or healthy scratch
exactly.
Because I need your line mates to have a breather.
Kadri cannot possibly fireman's carry you up the ice anymore.
Loops, hold me back.
Hold me
Instead,
back.
It's Marlowe's holding me back. Oh, it's a very subtle difference, ladies and gentlemen.
Do you think Luongo will retire this year? And do you think this goes back on Vancouver or will they loophole their way around it?
I think he will not retire.
Do you think he plays for Florida? Because he said he won't go anywhere else. This is home. My kids are in school here.
Yeah, his kids go to Parkland or goes to whatever that high school is.
That's right.
Sherman, Douglas, Dwight, Sherman.
Yeah, why don't you keep stabbing at it?
It's something. It's in that area.
Yep.
Area.
That was something.
That was weird.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm not sure. You make a good point because Reimer still has $5 million.
Something stupid.
For at least another 2 years.
I love you, James, but man. Yeah, and he was good. I think he was going to be the guy, like their replacement.
Yeah, it's a terrible idea.
Well.
Like, you know that.
No. I'll never admit it.
Or else he'd still be in Toronto.
Oh, I never would have let James go.
Yeah, but he did. And
I didn't.
Yeah. No, I'm still clutching at it right now. I haven't heard that he said he wouldn't go anywhere else.
Yeah.
So that makes things difficult.
For sure. Can you have him and Bobrovsky next year making $15 million or whatever?
Yeah, see, to me, it's like Craig Anderson last year saying, so prior to the
trade, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Please.
I don't want to deal with any of this shit. Just if you can find a place closer to home for me, because he lives in the same community as Luongo.
Oof, that would have been an old, expensive tandem.
Okay, but this is it, right? And you're like, okay, but he came off a shite season. You're like, hey, nobody wants you for the $5 million bucks.
Nobody wants you. Yeah.
And so you go, what are we going to do here?
Right.
Right. You can't get, now you can't go there. You can't go, what are you going to do?
Right.
And so, no, he's got to go back to Vancouver.
He's.
Well, look at.
Start ahead of. Their backup, Thatcher Demko and
because they have
Jakob Markstrom.
Yeah, they have Markstrom and Demko.
Yeah. They're not taking him back.
Okay, but I'm kidding.
No, I know.
Clearly, but when I asked you off
they have to send him to Arizona or Ottawa, someone who can take the cap hit and doesn't want the money, and and just pay him to do nothing for 3 years.
Right. What are you sending us?
Nothing.
Oh, no.
No, I get it, but if I'm Arizona or Ottawa, I don't need that. Like, he's not the high enough cap hit. Like, I think it's only like 5.2 or something.
It is 5.2.
So,
five-ish anyways.
Right. So I'm more looking for, I'm looking for a bigger one, right? Like,
how many times are you going to say that today? Big and hard, just the way I like it.
It's my dating profile header.
I'm looking for
a bigger one.
Big and hard.
Could be anything, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, no, I know what you're saying, but to me, that's the most likely thing that's going to happen. He will retire, and they'll trade his deal.
3 years is obscene, man.
Yeah.
I think teams like Ottawa who are looking to take on a year.
I agree with that.
2 years tops, man.
I agree with that.
3 years of kicking around.
That's what I'm saying. That's going to fuck. You're gonna have to pay Shabbat. You're going to have to pay Tkachuk. You're going to have to pay probably by then. Some, you know, Colin White's not going to be a huge deal, yeah, but it's going to be a deal, right? Like, you have Brännström, maybe at that point is ready coming out of his entry level.
3 years from now.
You can't do that. I can't do it, right? So maybe Phoenix, who knows they're never going to come close to the cap, but Eugene Melnyk has promised unprecedented spending and success.
Unparalleled.
So you can't take on that for 3 years. But I do think that's what's going to happen. He will retire this summer, but the deal will be traded to somebody, and it will be loopholed around just like everybody else. No one's ever fucked when they're supposed to be fucked.
Well, because as I was looking through, I was on Cap Friendly.
Yeah.
And I was kicking around looking at goalie tandems, because I'm still want your answer.
Okay, worst goalie tandem.
Yeah, worst goalie tandem in the NHL. And so I'm flipping around, and you go down, and I'm in Arizona, and you go, Marian Hossa.
Yeah.
Look at you hanging.
Playing goal.
Hanging out down here. Well, they're just, he's somewhere.
Datsuk.
Yeah. Well, this is it, right? And Copacabana or whatever that guy's name was. I'm like, who the hell is that guy? Anyways, yeah, but that's one of those things where you just sort of get slapped around.
This might be the first time, as I move over to your question, the two, like, first and second in a division are in the running for worst goaltending tandems. Mike Smith and David Rittich and Martin Jones and whoever, Alex Stalock maybe.
Della.
Yeah, Aaron Dell. That's right.
Aaron Dell. Della is, or Delia or whatever Della, his name is, Della, is in Chicago.
Yeah. Colin Delia.
Delia. What's the Delia? Martin Jones has had a bad season.
Holy fuck.
For a guy who's got 35-plus wins.
Last I looked, only like a week and a half ago, you sub-900 save percentage.
All season. Because I had
that guy's got a 905, that team has sliced their loss column in half.
Yeah, no, he has had, and I had him in the pool all season, just waiting for him to waiting for him to resurrect. Now, worth noting, I tied for first in the pool.
You did not. You lost. I would suggest that the Islanders...
And you finished where?
It's irrelevant. As we look...
10th out of 10, ladies and gentlemen.
Yep. It's true. That happened.
All right.
The Islanders and Sabres going into the season, I would have said worst. But the Islanders somehow find the Robin Leonard that everyone thought was in there, but...
Okay, but never would have made it there if he stayed in Buffalo.
That's right. And he apparently had some demons he was battling and whatever that they helped him work through, and he's been terrific. As has Greiss, though, which a year ago, no one would have.
Greiss! Tomas Greiss!
And whoever the fucking Lindback or... I don't know, Carter Hutton's other...
Carter Hutton and Linus Ullmark.
Ullmark, that's right. I think in the last week you could make the argument the Leafs have the worst tandem. Man, there's some bad. What most of the year it's been Cam Ward and Colin Delia in Chicago. That's a bad fucking tandem.
Yeah,
it has not been a banner year.
And who would have thought that the combination of Curtis McElhinney,
yeah,
Peter Mrazek, would have been kicking out the lights once they ditched Darling.
You want to know who? Kyle Dubas did not think that Colin...
Well, and Don Cherry and Mike Babcock both
they knew.
Clearly looked,
they knew.
Looked down their nose in, with disdain
yep.
at the release of McElhinney.
They knew.
But to me, Reimer and Luongo are in that mix. Maybe Koskinen and Stolarz are also maybe in that mix.
Yeah. That was a good deal, though. I would have traded Talbot for Stolarz. Just see, right? Like, it was worth a shot. See if this guy's got anything that Talbot doesn't. And
yeah, okay. That doesn't mean...
No, it's still bad.
You don't have bad goaltending.
It's true, man. So I wanted to talk about... Last week we saw, and I know you didn't have a chance to check this out, but I love these little quirks in the rules. Devin Dubnyk has PK Subban. So it's Minnesota versus Nashville. Devin Dubnyk playing goal for Minnesota has PK Subban from Nashville.
Why'd you French that up a little bit there? Subban.
That's what I do, man. I'm multicultural.
Don't try and French it up, dirtbag.
Dirt boy. Thanks, man.
Dirtbag.
Whatever.
Yeah, all right.
Is one really worse than the other?
If the croc fits.
So, Subban. Is that better?
Subban.
He crashes into Minnesota's net and knocks it off. What this means in the rule book is that as Minnesota rushes back up the ice, it's their net that's off, and it wasn't their fault. They're free to continue. But as soon as Nashville gets the puck and wants to come back and score, they can't.
Like a delayed penalty.
Right. They've knocked Nashville's net off. So, heads-up play. Devin Dubnyk rushes hard to the bench, screaming at somebody from his team to get on. Right? It should be like a delayed penalty. They can't score on us. Our net's off. And the refs haven't called it,
unless we back pass into our own net.
Well, we've seen that before, but that's not what happens here. All of his guys are like screaming at him to go back to the net because, frankly, they're not as smart as him in this instance.
You're going the wrong way.
So
how do they know? How do they know where we're going?
He jumps onto the bench. No one goes. No one goes. No one goes. So he goes, fuck. And he jumps on to go back to his net.
He took the point position.
One of his teammates jumps on as well, figuring out what's happened. And now Minnesota takes too many men on the ice penalty because he's gone and a teammate is gone. So this was started by, a couple of weeks ago, Georgiev, who's getting more play on this show than anyone ever would have predicted, from New York. He had done the same thing. He had rushed from his net. Hard, one of his guys immediately picked up what he was doing and jumped on. Again, my team can score and yours can't, so we're going to run this. That play by Georgiev happened on March 9th, I believe it was. On March 9th and March 11th was the two plays in Toronto, which we're not going to go into detail here, but they had two different goals disallowed because a net had gone off. And so the league looks at this and goes, we need to figure out how to fix this and whatever. And so they send a memo to
put the old spikes
referees to say, if you see a net off and have the chance, put it back on. Right? That used to happen
For sure.
In a stoppage of play. They were instructed, you know, if the play goes the other way, you can quickly put the net back on and it doesn't have to interrupt play. So as Dubnyk is sprinting hard to the bench, his is after that memo goes out, and a referee is putting the net back on. So he actually, in the end, gets lucky that they took a too many men on the ice penalty, because by the time he gets to the bench and has screamed at a teammate to get on, the referee has gone and put his net back on.
I didn't see that at all, no.
Where, in your mind, is this... Dubnyk, is this Georgiev abusing the rules? Is this silly? Or is this them being smart enough? Now, Georgiev's is different because it's...
pre-memo.
Right. To me, it's brilliant.
It's absolutely brilliant because I'm not sure everybody's brain fires that same way, right?
You can't score on me right now. My net's off. I'm gone.
Because how many people go...
You're waving and pointing.
Yeah,
and,
or can I do this?
Yeah.
Yelling, hey!
Yeah.
Somebody check the rule book. No, you got to go. And I think
he's a guy who knew the rule book And he's booking it.
Well, and obviously, yeah, Dubnyk may be smart enough.
Yeah, but didn't know that memo.
But Georgiev was.
Yeah.
Right? And so to me.
And Dubnyk's teammates weren't.
That's the guy who you got to look at and go, that's a shrewd motherfucker right there.
Yeah.
Right? Who's been able to fully understand the rule and can, at a drop of a hat, do that.
Right.
But I think, yeah, if you crash into my net and take it off.
Yeah.
That's on you.
For sure. But is it not a little, can you continue to play the game knowing that only, like, in a condition where only one team can score? Now, this is different. This is, Georgiev is brilliant. Dubnyk might be. But
you already have it
should the whistle have just been blown as soon as one net comes off, no matter what the conditions?
Yeah. See, you already have it established where if you take a penalty and I have possession of the puck, the game continues.
Yep.
Right. Now you.
But could, that's not what's happened here.
I can score on myself.
Yeah.
But as soon as you touch the puck, it's the same thing.
Yep, I agree.
So to me, that's the case. Whereas you've seen that gray area where my team has the puck and we're rushing and somebody in your team gets hurt behind the play, out of the play, and you're like, and then they whistle it right away. And you're like, hey.
That's your fucking problem that your face is bleeding.
They say, well, or you fell into the end boards or whatever happened. That's out of the play. You've now cut down a scoring chance. So to me, it has to be.
I love this stuff. I love anyone who's right on top of it and goes, and this is why the league doesn't like it. They're being made to look silly. But this is a guy who went, okay, but this is the rule. I'm going for it.
Yeah, well, which is too bad because that actually is exactly how it should be.
Yeah.
And as we said, Georgiev or Georgiev, whichever you prefer.
Yeah. The Bulgarian brute.
Yeah, is he's the guy who is the shrewdest.
Yes.
At Dubnyk, then obviously looking at that and going.
And he said in the post-game interview, he said, I saw him do it and went, hey, yeah.
That's smart.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, yeah, well, and imitation is the greatest form of flattery, right? And so now not knowing that there's a bit of
memo that comes out that fucks you
in between, it goes, hey, yeah. Hey,
because to me, the memo makes sense, too. If the rush has all gone the other way, the ref should just fly by and put it back on.
The back ref, because it is easy to do now.
That
right?
makes click, sense click. To me, right? So at that point, the goalie's got to be watching, did that happen? Can I call a guy off? Right?
Did that happen?
Now it becomes risky, right? Like, but in the moment, you go, no, as soon as they touch it with a chance to score, that's got to be blown dead. I'm booking it.
Turn around and look, go, ah. Oh.
But to see them take...
My net's back on the moorings, and there's nobody in it.
But to watch them take a too many men on the ice penalty because... The rest of his team was too stupid to understand. Go! Somebody fucking go! Fine, I'm going back. Oh, I get it. I'm going too.
Who gets the too many men? Yeah. Too many men on Dubnyk right there.
Yeah.
What are you doing? I'm on the ice because I thought you were off. Fool!
I wanted to touch on one thing here that I thought was interesting on the NBA front, which we don't touch on a whole lot here.
Not without the presence of Matty Lang.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're gonna go it alone here, ladies and gentlemen.
Earlier this week, bear with us. Earlier this week, the LA Lakers are eliminated from playoff contention. That after signing LeBron James to come out and star in Space Jam 2.
And snapping his, 10-year run as making it to every final.
Yeah. This will be the first time since 1991 that the NBA playoffs will not feature one of LeBron James, Kobe Bryant,
Michael Jordan,
Tim Duncan, Shaquille O'Neal, Michael Jordan, Hakeem Olajuwon.
Holy crap.
Six players. In
how does Hakeem Olajuwon get in there?
He must have made it in like 92 or something.
I know, but no. I know the Rockets won a couple.
Kobe Bryant. Yeah. What did I say here? So... LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, Tim Duncan, Hakeem Olajuwon, Michael Jordan, and Shaquille O'Neal. Six guys. One of those six guys has been in every NBA final since 1991. Unreal, man. Like, how do you have 27 years, 28 years go by where you can draw this line between six guys.
But basketball is a sport that we've clearly seen, right? That
one guy,
and then two guys, right? You had these two guys.
Shaq and Kobe was a ton of fun to watch.
And you need to have you got Jordan and you got Pippen.
Yeah.
Right. You have in those days it was one superstar and then
the backup guy, the other really good guy,
right? And then now it's become this day and age of super teams. But in no other sport other than basketball do you have it where one guy can make.
Tom Brady says, "What's up?"
Bill Belichick says, I agree with you. Number 12, sit the fuck down. Matt Castle says, "What up?" 12 win season.
I'm curious. Because over that time, the NBA has done a pile in terms of growth and has clearly become the number two sport behind the NFL. They've passed MLB. There was a time in kind of the mid to late 90s where they were neck and neck with the NHL. They're now miles ahead of them. Maybe I'm answering my own question, but has this model been good for them? Like, is that good for a sport that it's the same guys over and over and over?
I can't imagine, because you've also seen things where it seems to be the hardest in the NBA to get up off the floor. Your Atlanta Hawks or any of these sorts of things, right? Where when you're down,
you're bad for a long time,
right? And in a sport where one or two guys makes a huge difference, it seems really hard.
At the same time, the idea that it's star-driven, right, that your biggest names, like those names I just rhymed off, are the biggest in the sport over that, you know, couple of decades, to know that they will always be on your biggest stage, it's terrible for parity.
For sure.
But I wonder if it's great for ratings, right? Like,
well, as you've said, if they have never made it to, if they've never had greater success,
As
a league,
yeah,
in terms of attendance and TV revenue,
right?
Then yeah, you got to keep riding that. But to me, they're at a very dangerous spot.
I agree with you. I think it could go either way here, right? And we might be on the verge of
where they're going to have a very much have five or six teams, and 25. I don't even know how many teams are on that league.
I assume 30. Yeah.
Of just sort of treading around, you know, holding water, and that's about it.
Yeah.
So
I do love the idea that when the light shines the brightest, your biggest guys are there. But at what cost? I agree with you. I think that's a tough.
Well,
but it's amazing to go. You can trace six names. Go. That'll take you all the way back to 91.
Yeah. Well, and to me, it seems like if you could have said to me, LeBron, Kobe, Shaq, Jordan.
Yeah.
And now to me, Duncan's
been in a pile.
Well, I was going to say, but he won three or four and lost a couple.
And at first, I'm looking at Shaq going, well, he's just the Kobe ones, but there must be one or two in there.
Well, he was with Orlando where they made it to the final and didn't win.
They need that name to plug a hole somewhere, right? Like that gets you there.
Because he would have been in a final, but probably lost to Houston.
He was so dominant, though. Like,
right. And in his early years in Orlando, right, he was that sort of LeBron before LeBron, where he could one guy pull a team along. So he probably fills a hole in the early 90s somewhere where they go, okay, it's
94 and we need a guy, right? Like we need to bridge this, right?
It's Utah versus Orlando or whoever that was, right?
It's true. I think we'll wrap this one up. That's another episode of Tall Can Sports. We hope you all have a great week. You can give us a follow on Twitter at Tall Can Audio, Facebook.com/Tall Can Audio. And we will catch you all on the next one. Have a great week.
See ya.
We're not going to be fucking sunk this year. Yeah!
Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at TallCanAudio.com or by searching Tall Can Audio on your favorite podcast app.